rolling, they hating, patrolling and trying to catch me riding dirty, trying to catch me.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick's out. Barry's out. Nick's in. Tyler's here. We're all together. Two in the books, one to go. Plenty more of the big show. And you know what? During disasters and things like that, they say how worlds collide and it makes everything better. How about the fact that Chameleon Air was hanging out with Mattress Mack the other day at Gallery?
Did you know that was going to happen? No. Or you just saw it on...
What was the announcement that they... Because I saw them announce
on Twitter that they were going to make an announcement. I didn't catch up with I don't know what the announcement was, but in the meantime, Chameleon Air was there at Gallery.
Yeah, I thought that was cool to see him stand right next to Mattress Mack. That was like the last two people I'd see standing together, honestly. I didn't expect that. Not that Mattress Mack is not cool like that, I'm just saying.
He's tight with a lot of people, but I was like, whoa, okay, I like that. But again, that's Mack being Mack. He doesn't care. I mean, yeah. And if he doesn't know, he'll ask somebody.
Yeah, but the good thing is that Chameleon Air is a Houstonian and you know is able to bring that type of attention.
Okay, sure. So the announcement was he started a nonprofit organization benefiting relief efforts and has formed a partnership with one of the most charitable names in Houston, Mattress Mack. It's basically going to he'll be driving stuff to Beaumont, Orange, Port Arthur. It's called the Robin's Heart Foundation.
Okay.
Not Comaximize. Nothing like that, no.
As a show of good faith, Chameleon Air donated the first $25,000, promises that every single penny raised will go towards helping those in need with zero administrative fees.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Matt continues to do good. Chameleon Air doing some good. And they're riding dirty. So one of the things we did not get to with a full show yesterday was Ryan Russillo. We had told you a while back how he had got a little liquored up, thought he was staying at a place he wasn't staying at, decided to get more comfortable, get down to his birthday suit, and almost pass out in the wrong room. And people said three different times, you got to go. He didn't go. He got arrested. Now he got suspended. He was out 2 weeks by ESPN. And his first day back was yesterday. And I give him credit. Instead of being a guy that was going to fight the power and was going to say, you know, maybe one of these guys that came out all boisterous, wait till the facts come out, this is how he came back on the air.
Last week, I was suspended, and I was suspended because 2 weeks ago, that vacation that I spent all this time talking about, going out to Montana, and that part was great, and then getting to Jackson Hole, I got arrested the first night I was in Jackson Hole. I got arrested because I went out that night, I drank too much, and I went to the wrong hotel room, and that's how I ended up getting into trouble. And when you wake up, and the jail's like, who are you? I'm like, I'm Ryan. And they go, this is all over the place, and you're getting destroyed. Just want to give you a heads up. And I was like, okay, thank you. The way I felt that day and every day since has been tough, but the thing about screwing up is... it can be hard when it's just you, but that's actually what's made this easy, is that it's only my fault. I have no one else to blame. I don't have anything, like people say, oh, wrong place, wrong time. Well, I guess you could say that, but that was my fault. You know, my friends or this guy or that guy, wrong group of guys, wasn't me. It's all on me. There is no one else. So I could go through a timeline of events that if this happens, this happens. Maybe this whole big thing doesn't happen, but then it's going to sound like I'm making excuses and that I don't get it. And trust me, I get it. I understand that this is a big mistake because I'm a public figure and I have my name on a show and I work at a place like ESPN and a place that I'm proud to come into work every single day. So, and I'm not saying this because my bosses are listening, but I deserve the suspension. You know, I embarrassed you guys. I embarrassed myself. And I feel so bad about the people here as it works as an on-air person where you are... you know, there are people here that love me, and there are people that are like, maybe I'm not sure about that guy. I'm not sure that I get it. And I think all the people that have been arguing for me and me feeling like the underdog and finally getting my name and all these things that have happened in the last 12 years here, I don't want those people in the room that have been fighting for me to give up on me or to feel like I've, you know, because I have let them down. So I'm sorry to them. I'm sorry to my family that's been asked about this nonstop. And I'm sorry to my friends. And even though I make a ton of jokes about not having any friends, I've heard from so many of you guys after the fact it meant a ton and helped me because I was super depressed, especially that first week. When you were sitting there thinking about your actions and making this kind of mistake, and you're in a car by yourself driving through Idaho Falls and then into Montana in a rainstorm, and you're like, I can't believe I did this. I can't believe this happened. And I'm sad, and then I'm angry, and I'm punching the steering wheel, and then you get a phone call, and you feel a little bit better. And so, as I said, I joke about not having friends. Obviously, I have a lot. Maybe I should actually pick one of those next time I go on vacation. The other part of this is understanding, reminding myself that I am a public figure and that the rules are different. And if you want these jobs and you want your name to resonate and you want all the good things with it, you have to understand that you're going to pay a different price when you screw up. And I've definitely paid that price.
So there you have it. By the way, if you've ever driven Wyoming, Idaho, you realize how accurate he is. You have more time to do anything you want and think. That is the worst drive ever.
Yeah, I was just in Iowa and there's literally nothing.
Iowa's all cornfields, but I'm talking about like, you're talking about like, we went over, my dad and I drove when I got the job in Portland with the Blazers out of college. We drove across the northern United States. You go through North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, Idaho, and literally the Continental Divide, you're at the highest point in the country. And all you can worry about is like, there's mountain lions. There's like, and there's no like lights on the highways at night, and you're winding through the mountains and stuff. And it's like, when everybody says, well, I got so much time to think, you sure do, man, because there is no human life form other than like the animals and stuff running around, and no lights and no modern technology. Yeah, he had plenty of time to think, but I give him full credit for owning up to all of it and accepting it and owning it, because not a lot of guys would. A lot of guys would say, wait till my lawyers get involved. Wait till the truth comes out. You know, dude admitted what he had to, said what he had to say, admitted, and I give him credit for it.
He can consider himself very lucky because, I mean,
a lot of guys would have lost their job.
He's certainly an asset, but he's certainly replaceable, in my opinion. And that's not a shot at him. I think there's plenty of broadcasters out there that could totally jump into that time slot.
No doubt.
And do a good job. But no, I mean, I think you heard a very humbled, you know, Ryan Russillo. You know, I think he's learned a lot. And yeah, I wouldn't want to be driving that long because I'd be thinking about it the entire time. So a learning experience. I think he should, you know, he should be thankful. He should be humbled, but he should also be thankful. He's got a gig and he understands that he's a public figure. He can't act like that.
So what you're basically saying to Barry right now is while he's listening, he better be careful.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's got a long drive ahead of him and he's got you warming up his seat.
Yeah, he can't. He's got a lot to think about on his way back.
What is it with these radio guys? You're going to come. We're going to take a break. When we come back, you're going to talk about another radio guy who had the whole world seemingly by the grapes.
A guy that I was a big fan of until he messed with my boy Tyler on Twitter. But apparently, he deleted all his tweets.
Yeah, don't try and butter up.
He's in some
Tyler
trouble.
Now.
He's in some serious
just because he
trouble.
Played your Hillary Duff crap. But the thing is, you didn't know about this till I told you, and you were crushed about this. This is bothering you.
I just liked him as a personality. I like his, you know, he's what is he? He's just like a he's got a fast motor when he talks. Like he's intuitive. He tries to be informative. He tries to be funny. I guess you can question his knowledge. Like some people hate him. Like some people absolutely hate him. I was just a big fan of the show.
Okay.
You know, I thought
all right,
he,
so we're going to get to that story
well
in a minute
Homer.
Because if you don't know, it is worth the listen because there's a lot of stuff involved in this case coming up that Nick's going to talk about. And the fact that we have a legal analyst coming on right after that, we'll probably delve into it a little bit with Terry Yates.
Yep.
So stay where you're at. Final hour of the show rolling along as we continue to keep gaining traction. We'll be back with a whole lot more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back with just over a half hour to go in the big show. As we continue to roll on, it's been a good, good show today. Nick filling in for Barry. Tyler filling in for Nick, if you follow that. Nick playing some of his favorite tunes, including Hillary Duff, which is never something that you can look past.
I thought this was my jam, too, but I don't know this jam.
Tyler, this is?
Is it Houstonian? Robert Earl Keane?
Okay. I knew that.
R.E. Keane, for those that are tight. Terry Yates, legal analyst, going to be on with us at 3:30 for all you Cowboys fans out there and Zeke Elliott fans. We'll be talking about that. And we'll be talking about a story that we talked about in our production meeting that kind of came out of nowhere. But another radio guy like Ryan Russillo dabbling in the dirty side.
Yeah.
Kind of shocking, especially for me and Tyler, but no more so than anyone than the Nick, who was a fan of this guy. Nick, tell the story.
So Craig Carton of the Boomer and Carton show on CBS Sports, you can find it on CBS Sports on TV and listen to it on the radio as well. I think he's been doing the show, Craig Carton that is, with Boomer Esiason for, I think, since 2007. So it's been a while. And now it comes out, he was arrested Wednesday, which is, he was arrested Wednesday morning at his Manhattan home. And him and a co-defendant by the name of Michael Wright, who's an events promoter, got charged with securities fraud, wire fraud, and conspiracy. The two could face a maximum of 45 years in prison, fines running into the millions of dollars. So a very scary situation for Craig Carton right now. I just am so intrigued because, there was no secret I was a big fan of Craig Carton. I still am until we find out the whole truth, at least from a broadcasting standpoint. But you talk about the his intentions. It looks like, according to one report on New York Post, together Carton and Melly, a 43-year-old event reporter, ripped off at least $3.6 million from only two investors. And that's like the one good thing I took out of this, Joel, because it's not like an Enron situation where millions of people lost their lives. Right. And it wasn't a natural disaster.
Or the Bernie Madoff scam.
Or the Bernie Madoff situation. Right. Absolutely. It was two people, $3.6 million. And then Carton misappropriated another $2 million from one of the same two investors.
And what was it, like a ticket scam?
Yeah, a ticket scam. So
for sports tickets?
I believe so. And he's doing this to cover his own gambling debts, because apparently he's in deep with some of the casinos.
So he's a degenerate?
I guess so.
And a gambler? And a drinker? I don't know. Does that sound familiar to anybody?
Yeah.
We should have played the Kenny Rogers song.
Yeah, see? There you go. Yeah. Then Adam Wexler would have been all over you with more props,
yeah,
Tyler.
That's true.
Yeah.
But again, you didn't, so therefore there's no props to be given. Does this just mean that we have to worry about Fred and AJ? If these radio guys that are gamblers?
I know. Radio guys are total gamblers. It's just you don't do something like $5.6 million. I mean, that's a lot.
A huge gamble.
You're in deep if you're doing something like that. I mean, exactly. At what point do you – I guess he got so deep that he was like, whatever, I'm in this deep now. At this point, I might as well keep going. But because it does get to that situation with a lot of these securities fraud charges where they're in so deep, even if they wanted to go back, it's too late. So I don't know if that's a similar situation with Craig Carton. And I only bring this up, we have Terry Yates coming on, a legal analyst, at the bottom of the hour at 3:30. And we initially had him just to talk about the Ezekiel Elliott situation.
Right.
But with the advent of this story, we'll talk to him about that. He's up to date on it, and we'll get his take. What could this mean for Craig Carton? And what could this mean for Ezekiel Elliott?
I mean, let's be honest. In the Craig Carton situation, if you look at Ryan Russillo, as we said, got lucky, and all he did was get bombed and drop trow in a hotel room.
I don't know what does.
I was going to say, he got off lucky because he was just naked sleeping in the wrong room. I don't think in this case, when you're talking about millions of dollars, I don't know how this guy keeps his job.
I don't either. As long as the show is, despite how long the show's been together, I don't see how this show stays together. Here's what I think Boomer had to take. Boomer said he was completely surprised with what came out. He just said he didn't know. Here's one quote, though. Carton's deceit did not stop with providing fake documents. When one investor made its $2 million investment, Carton misappropriated the money by lying to multiple people, according to the court papers. A 26-page Securities and Exchange Commission filing accusing Carton of lying. 26 pages. So there's a lot to look at in this case. It's not like
Which means there's a lot there.
Yes.
This isn't just a, oh, I screwed up. I misappropriated. I maybe forgot something. This is, seems to be there was intent.
Yeah. My bad. Here's the Boomer quote. I am aware now why Craig is not here this morning. Unfortunately, he was arrested this morning. I'm taken aback and surprised by it, just like everybody else is.
Yeah, because he went on the air this morning and said he was out ill.
Yeah.
Well, he might be sick to his stomach because he got caught, but he was being arrested.
Yeah. I would imagine Boomer is a... I can actually kind of believe Boomer. I mean, he could be lying, but I don't see Carton approaching Boomer about a situation like this and Boomer being okay with it. I would imagine he has too much.
Whether you've seen the Mike and the Mad Dog story on the 30 for 30 on ESPN, or you talk about this situation, or even Barry and I have talked about it over and over again, just because you spend 3 or 4 hours a day doing a show,
yeah,
you don't know.
You don't know a person that deep unless you've been hanging out with them.
Right.
Or if you've been doing the show for maybe 10, 15 years. But even then, with like Mike and Mike, apparently they don't know where each other lives. They've never been to each other's houses. And that's after 20 years.
Yeah, it's the easy assumption for the listener out there that because you're partnered together, that you literally are partners in some way, shape, or form, that you're really tight and friends and hang out and do all these different things. And it's really not that way. Yeah, there's friendships that are built in, and over time, there are guys at this station that have developed friendships where they hang out. But not that I'm trying to burst anybody's bubble or anything, but Tyler, just to the examples you gave. I mean, we sat down, and I interviewed Mike and Mike and talked to him during Super Bowl and was just amazed at the fact that there wasn't that tight-knit closeness. More power to them because they portray it on the air. Great.
Yeah.
But it's different because people have lives and they do their own thing.
Yeah, and I that's why I'm not surprised at that at all. I don't see him necessarily knowing anything about that. But according to reports, Carton was earning a $250,000 per year salary, and apparently that wasn't enough. I know he's living out in New York and it's expensive, but I would love to make $250,000 a year.
What, you're not?
No,
you're not making that radio
Shocker.
Money.
Yeah,
that Barry always talks not about. You're not making that radio money.
I wish,
man.
I wish I had $250 a year.
Yeah, it sucks to be you. Yeah. All right, so we got plenty more to get to, and on this very issue, as well as the Ezekiel Elliott case, Terry Yates is coming up next. Terry Yates, a longtime legal analyst and a friend of the show because he's a friend of the station. He's been on 1560. He'll now be on ESPN 97.5. When we come back, we'll get into a little of the legalities and the fine print of Ezekiel Elliott and much more. Don't go anywhere. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Creep on in, on in, on in.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the final half hour of The Usual Suspects. It's Nick for Barry. Some of you are asking, how can Nick be filling in for Barry when Nick's on the show with Barry? Well, when Barry's out, Nick gets a more prominent role. So therefore, we have just shuffled chairs. Nick comes from outside of the cage and sits down in the hot seat. Tyler gets behind the glass and sits down in the cage. And I just stay where I am.
It's fun, though. It's fun taking Barry Laminack's spotlight. I like that.
Okay, well, you steal his sunshine as long as you want to.
It'll
because
be
it's been a good
short-lived.
Show.
Very short.
It's been a good show.
But we got a special guest on the line on the HRMP line, a guy
Bring
I've been looking
in.
Forward to for a very long time. Terry Yates, a guy who's kind of provide his analysis on various platforms here at Gal Media between 1560, ESPN 97.5, and the SB Nation Radio Network. Terry Yates, welcome to the program, man.
Hey, thank you, Nick. Joe, how y'all doing?
Good, sir. How are you doing today?
Well, we're doing well down here. Digging out from this hurricane and trying to dry things out, but all is good.
Well, I hope you stayed dry survived. We obviously know there's a lot going on in the sports world where we can tap into your vast knowledge. Everybody, including a lot of Cowboy fans that listen to this station, want to know what your take is on this whole Ezekiel Elliott situation. You hear he was suspended, then you hear that they're going to take it to the federal courts. There's going to be a back and forth. Now the ruling is that the suspension's held up. He's going to play for a week, but they're going to still continue to push it through the court system, and I just was interested in your take on the whole thing.
Yeah, I think, the NFL abated that suspension for this week to allow him to play because they didn't know how the trial court up in Sherman was going to rule with regard to the suspension that the NFL gave him, which is 6 games. So they went ahead and just said we are going to bait it, allow him to play this week, and then see how the judge rules next week. They didn't want to give an unfair advantage to one side or the other, and, you know, basically let both teams know who is going to be on the field. So that really doesn't have much to do with the final outcome, but that's why they did that.
But in terms of the you mentioned the court system and where it's going to be played out and how it's going to be played out, how long could this go on for? I mean, obviously he's going to play this week because they didn't want to put anybody in a compromising position, but
right.
How long could this play out for before we have a definitive decision?
Well, it could go on for years. You remember the Brady case that went on for years. So, you know, theoretically, this case could go on for years before, the ultimate outcome is known, just like the Brady case. But, you know, ultimately, I think the courts in that case, the Second Circuit wrote that opinion that carries a lot of weight now. And they give a lot of deference to in collective bargaining agreements and arbitration, between employer, employees, and those arbitrations. They give a lot of deference to the findings of the arbitrator. So, you know, just like that case, you might remember where Brady won at the trial court level, but the Second Circuit ended up flipping it, and the 4-game suspension was reinstated. I would imagine that's ultimately what's going to happen in this case. They're going to say, you know, the NFL's got great latitude to do whatever they want to do.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, because of the fact that you mentioned the past precedents with the Brady case, but at the end of the day, it still seems like, and the way everything was agreed upon with the Players Association, you can go to the courts till you're blue in the face, but at the end of the day, if they want to rule the way they want to rule, they're going to rule that way anyway.
You're exactly right. Yeah, you can delay it, but inevitably, the courts are probably going to allow the arbitration process to work out and say, hey, we don't belong in this situation. And what they said in that case is, look, we're not a fact finder. We're not here to say whether the flake gate occurred or whether he knew. We're just looking at the law, and we look at the CBA. And basically, you agreed to this in contract to allow them to discipline, you know, the players based on their personal conduct policy. Since you agreed to that, the NFL can do about whatever they want, as long as it's not fundamentally unfair. So even though Elliott's lawyers are saying, look, this case was flawed, the complainant now is saying that allegations aren't true, they're probably not going to go back and look at the facts. They're going to say, look, it's just too bad, you know. You agree to this, you agree to allow them to arbitrate this, and as long as that decision is reasonable in its face, then they're going to allow it to stand.
Good stuff there. We're speaking to Terry Yates here on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN975.com. Let's change gears a little bit. We initially scheduled you to talk specifically about the Ezekiel Elliott case, but earlier today it comes out. Craig Carton, who is an on-air host for the CBS Sports Network, you can find that show on TV and on radio. He was arrested at his Manhattan home for allegedly luring investors into a fraudulent ticket resale business, promising to deliver face value tickets to concerts by stars like Katy Perry, Justin Bieber, Metallica. And we're talking about a potentially, a $5.6 million scam. What is your initial thought on that situation? How realistic is it for him to get out of this situation and go back to a normal life?
Probably not very real. When the federal government comes after you in a case like this, and they indicted his business partner, or former business partner, a while back. So they brought this case after they did some further investigation, and what I've been able to read about it and looking at the SEC. The SEC initially brought a complaint against him because it involved companies that I guess stock was issued for. So, they brought that claim. I looked at that claim. It looks like they got a pretty good case against him. He was alleged to be in debt to some casinos and owed a lot in gambling. And apparently they're claiming he took the money of the investors and paid off gambling debts and used it for other personal purposes, which it's gonna lead him in a lot of trouble.
So for someone who doesn't know, what does a 26-page Securities and Exchange Commission filing mean? That sounds pretty big. That sounds like a thick filing. I mean, does that mean there's a lot of evidence against him, or is there just a lot to kind of consider in this case?
Yeah, it's a lot of evidence, and I looked through the filing. I mean, the SEC files it's a civil action. So, a lot of times the U.S. Attorney's Office who brings the criminal charges, they'll follow in behind the SEC and allow them to go in and do a lot of discovery, get the statements and the depositions and things, and then the government, the Department of Justice, will come in behind them. And those are the big penalties. Those are the ones that send people to prison. So this filing has a lot of factual basis in it for an indictment, which was brought today, and he was charged criminally, which now that's the main concern for him.
So, Terry, we appreciate you joining us because now you know that because of all the information you just gave us, Boomer and Nick will be debuting sometime in October as Nick Sciarra tries to better his career. But before we let you go, we also mentioned Ryan Russillo, who ESPN, similar to what Nick said, on an ESPN platform, was vacationing and went into the wrong room, stripped down to his birthday suit, went to fall asleep. The people that had the room wanted him out. He wouldn't leave. They go back and forth. Surprised that he wasn't relieved of his duties because of the fact that these guys are working for these major networks in broadcasting that seem to have a different statue of things that they have to live up to. I was shocked that the suspension was only 2 weeks. I was just interested in your take on the case.
Yeah, I saw that he was ended up being charged with trespassing. Obviously, he was probably intoxicated.
Yeah, he mentioned he was.
Yeah, I guess. And, I don't know why they came at the punishment that they came to, but I'm sure they considered, I'm sure he didn't have any intent to do what he did other than the fact he'd had too much to drink. So I don't really know if that was appropriate or not what they did, but, that's a different animal compared to the Carson one we talked about.
Just one last question, though, kind of going back to the NFL situation. Where's the end game in terms of how the courts and the NFL mix? Like, is it always going to be where if the NFL really has the power to kind of do whatever they want and kind of suspend people where they feel need, is it going to continue to be like that? Or do you see some sort of resistance and some sort of change in the future in terms of how they approach players when it comes down to criminal or domestic issues or anything like that?
Well, doesn't it have to come down to the collective bargaining agreement? Like, don't we have to wait?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. And you might remember that this is really fallout from the 2014 case, the Ray Rice case. You remember how that was mishandled by the NFL?
Yep.
And they gave the suspension, and they actually and they got the tape and how bad it looked in it. They really look bad for doing as little as they did. So now I think they're kind of trying to they're going over the top. I mean, they're handing out severe punishments on cases that factually don't look very strong. So they have a new domestic violence policy, and they're trying not to be criticized. So, but yeah, as long as this current CBA is in effect and how it's worded, the NFL can do about whatever they want under these policies. So, it's not going to change until they renegotiate the CBA and put some stronger language in it that protects the players. Until that happens under this current contract, I mean, they're pretty much at the whim of the NFL and the arbitration process.
Awesome. Awesome stuff, Terry. That's why I was glad I was able to get you on. Legal analyst here on ESPN 97.5. For those who don't know, I mean, is there anything in particular you want to promote? Maybe your office, if there's any needs that people might have. Is there anything you want to promote there, Terry?
No, nothing. I mean, I'm really touched by everything the people around this country have done for Houston. I was driving back. I was in Chicago. I couldn't fly back to Houston. I was stuck in Chicago. I ended up getting a flight to Austin and drove back. And I tell you what, it was heartwarming to see the trucks full of water and supplies and boats and stuff pouring into Houston. So we really appreciate everybody's help down here. And just wanted to say thank you for that.
Good stuff, Terry. Thanks so much for joining us. Take care of yourself. Hopefully you're staying dry, and we'll touch base with you again.
Yes, sir.
Terry Yates, right there with some good legal insight on a couple of different cases that we have touched on during the course of the show. So it's been a good run, Nick. We got one segment left to go. Tyler, we find some things to wrap this thing up, put a bow on it, and then turn it over to the Blitz. Fred, AJ Jong standing by, waiting in the wings. But we got one segment to go. Don't go anywhere. Usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Zero the Crooked. I know y'all been waiting on this here. Yeah.
This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick in for Barry, Tyler in for Nick. I'm where I always am. Usual Suspects, one segment to go before we wrap up the show. And as we normally like to do in the final segment, we like to get a little bit more lighthearted and fun and gamesy, as well as just straight sports. But we found a couple of stories, including one that is a little sportsy, with someone that we have made reference to on this show before. If you remember former Ole Miss quarterback Chad Kelly, he wandered his way into some DMs with one, I guess she bills herself now as former porn star Mia Khalifa.
Yep.
And she put him in his place rather quickly. Now she has more fans trying to dive into the DMs. It seems that Cubs catcher Wilson Contreras, who's been on the DL with a strained hamstring since August 9th, apparently spent some of that off time diving into the DMs of the former porn star. He was undeterred by the lack of response from Khalifa and kept going until she asked for his employer to come get him. He basically kept sending her messages to the with lots of emojis to the likes of, "I'm sure you're getting this, but I'm a big fan of yours. It'd be great if you just said hi." Then he said, "Good morning, good afternoon." He wasn't getting any responses. And finally, she put out there, "Hey, Cubbies, your mans is wandering around left field. Can you come get him?" And it didn't end there. But Tyler, as you mentioned, he didn't shy away from this.
Yeah, I don't think he's not embarrassed by it. I mean, obviously, if you send something like that, you probably have a problem because you think that a DM is going to get you anywhere.
But it seems like there's a lot of athletes out there that are just not embarrassed to.
Well, it's funny because Octagon Baseball, the agency that represents him, claims his account
was hacked.
Garbage.
But then it seemed there were other reports that basically showed that he's not afraid to say that he did it. I mean, own up to it. It's kind of like the Ryan Russillo approach. It might be a new, refreshing way to look at how to handle situations. I know it's crazy, but just be honest. And Nick, as I tie this whole show together, just come clean.
Yeah. I mean, the Twitter hack excuse can only go so far.
I mean, I hate that. It's just a cop-out.
It really is.
It's not even a good cop-out anymore. It's
like not Hillary Duff's song, though, Come Clean, right?
No, I got you. I got the reference. No, right. My bad. I liked it. But I'm just saying. I just thought, why would even, at that point, when there's those type of specific messages in the DM, why do you even use that as excuse? Even if it is the sponsor. I guess it makes it a little bit easier for the sponsor to come out and say, it makes, you know, the team doesn't want to do that, but I've seen teams.
His representation is, of course, going to make him look as clean as possible because they're trying to get him sponsors and endorsement deals.
But yeah.
But that's crazy. And again, a lot of this, too, is people have a lot of time on their hands. And when you take away things that normally keep them distracted throughout the day from social media, let's say that, they can dive back in. The Today Show, for instance, was doing their thing that they normally do with world records. And so they had a guy on the show that set the world record for the most watermelons karate chopped in a certain amount of time. He hit 42. Everybody was all complimentary and laughing and fun and games until people got to Twitter, when all of a sudden the tweets started rolling in about how wasteful and absurd this challenge was because people are out there hungry. And other people making reference to Harvey saying, "With what Texas people are going through, you should be ashamed, Today Show, for being so wasteful with your watermelon." Really?
Did they say the same thing about the hot dog competition?
It's a good point, Nick.
I wonder
if. But at least people are eating those.
You know? There's a lot of waste.
I mean, it is wasteful as far as one person eating.
But as I told you,
that's true.
If you or Matt or Savannah wanted to go nose deep in a watermelon after he karate chopped it, no one's stopping you. It's still edible.
Definitely stopping me.
Well, it's stopping Barry because of the hygienics of the whole thing. What? But I'm just saying, you could cut around it.
No, I'm not doing that. That is disgusting. I'm not. And guy, what did he have to condition his hand to do that? Probably. That just looks so painful to me. I'm not doing that. I'm not even trying that once.
I don't know, but everybody was probably a kung fu fighting wherever he was training because his karate chop got him 42 in the appropriate amount of time in order to set the world record. He chopped a watermelon every 1.43 seconds, and he did it right-handed.
Yeah.
Us lefties are far too smart for endeavors such as that. We would protect our left hand. But righties, it says a lot about you guys. All right, so Nick, we appreciate you filling in, doing a heck
Thank
of a
you,
job.
Sir.
Tyler, you as well.
Thank you,
we wrap up the 3-hour extravaganza and put a bow on it. We'll get ready to turn it over to Fred, AJ Jung, and the Blitz next. But for Tyler and for Nick, I'm Joel. Have a great night. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. If you's a bowler, shot caller trying to make your money, taller, like J and UGK with Big B, make some noise on my independent women. Happy birthday, ESPN 97.5. We're 10. If you thought we were degenerates before, wait until we hit puberty. Hold on to your butts.